In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Thank God, as Abuna said, we are celebrating now the feast of Saint Mary. And Saint Mary actually has a great place in our hearts, not only the hearts actually of the Orthodox Christian, but also the non-Orthodox, even the non-Christian. Almost all the religions glorified and magnified Saint Mary and considered her the highest one among the people. And in our tradition, we say that Saint Mary, not only the highest among the people, but also she is higher than the angels and the archangels, higher than the cherubim and the seraphim. And also, as you know, on the 12th of every Coptic month, we commemorate Archangel Michael. And this church is named after Archangel Michael, so it is a great blessing to have the Vesper tonight and the liturgy tomorrow while we are commemorating the monthly commemoration of Archangel Michael. And if I want to think about one thing common between Saint Mary and Archangel Michael, Saint Mary lived her life, actually if she want to write a textbook about memories with our Lord Jesus Christ, she would have been able to write a textbook. Not only a textbook, encyclopedia. She has a lot of stories with our Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us, when we have a small experience with a prominent person, we like to share what happened with this. She has a great experience with the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. But Saint Mary actually talked very, very little. Actually, if you try to find what did she say, very, very little things. She was a woman of silence. She controlled her tongue. And as Saint Luke said about Saint Mary in Luke chapter 2, that Saint Mary kept all what is going on in her heart, reflecting and meditating about all these things in her heart. She had a great connection with God. And the Father says, when your heart is busy talking with God, your tongue will be silent. You know, when an issue is preoccupying your mind, you will find yourself not talking because you are thinking about this issue. In the same way, Saint Mary definitely, she was not worried about anything, but her heart was preoccupied with her relationship with God. That's why her words are very, very few. Very, very few. Although, as I said, if she wants to write encyclopedia about her memories of the Lord Jesus Christ, actually, many, many books would not be enough. Archangel Michael, as we read in the letter of Jude, and this letter is one chapter, verse 9, it says, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So Jude said about Archangel Michael, I'm sure you know the story about the body of Moses. God actually hid the body of Moses and did not reveal it to anybody. Why? Israelites came from the land of Egypt. And in Egypt, they were idol worshippers. And actually, do you know the pyramids? Pyramids are what? Are tombs. So actually, they worshipped their kings. They worshipped the pharaohs. And they built these huge tombs, like the pyramids, in honor and worship of the pharaohs. So Moses was a great prophet among the Israelites. He led all the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. So if they had the body of Moses, they would have worshipped him as they saw the Egyptians worshipping their pharaohs and building these pyramids as tombs for the pharaohs. So in order not to drift from the worship of God to the worship of human being, so God hid the body of Moses. And Satan is the opponent of God. When God does something, Satan wants to do the opposite. So God hid the body of Moses. Satan wanted to reveal the body of Moses to lead the people of Israel to worship the body of Moses. So Archangel Michael appeared to stop Satan from this conspiracy, from revealing the body of Moses. So here Jude is telling us about this story. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, so there was like a contention between Archangel Michael and the devil, like a war between both of them, when he disputed about the body of Moses. Most of us, when we are angry, maybe we yell, we scream, we curse, we revile. That's what most of us do. But here he said, Michael dared not bring against him a reviling accusation. So while he's accusing him, and this was a true accusation, not a wrong accusation, telling him, how dare you to reveal the body of Moses, but he did not revile him. He did not say to Satan, Satan, many times we feel it's okay to revile Satan. It's okay to curse Satan. It's okay to say bad word about Satan. But even Archangel Michael, in this contention with the devil, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. So, as we saw, Saint Mary had control over her tongue, and she was silent. She was in contemplation and meditation with the Lord all the time. We see Archangel Michael, even with Satan, when there was a war, he did not give himself permission to revile or to say a bad word to the devil. Rather, he said, may the Lord rebuke you. So while I'm speaking about Saint Mary and Archangel Michael, here I like to speak about our tongues, because we saw how Archangel Michael refused to revile Satan, and how Saint Mary, actually she was a woman, a lady of silence, a lady of contemplation, so she kept all these things in her heart. And her words were very, very, very few. So, and many verses, especially in the book of Proverbs and the letter of James, it spoke about our tongue. So I will take the letter of James as foundation to our Bible study tonight. And also, I will quote some verses from Book of Proverbs. Let's start from James chapter 3, verse 1. James 3, verse 1. He said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Many of us actually, we like to teach. But here actually, St. James is saying, actually, you need to think twice before teaching. Why? He said, number one, first reason, the teachers will receive a stricter judgment. So we who teach in our judgment, we will receive a stricter judgment than the people. How come? Any person will be judged only about his behavior and his words. But we who teach, the Lord told us, will tell us, did you keep what you preached? Did you live what you preached? Or was there discrepancy between your teaching, preaching, and between your life and your behavior? As St. Paul said in his letter to Romans, you who say don't steal, are you going to steal? You who says don't judge, are you going to judge? So St. James said we need to refrain or be careful not to desire to be teachers, because teachers in general will receive a stricter judgment. Not only that, but in verse 2 he said, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So St. James put a standard for perfection, which is to control your tongue. Who among us never ever commit a sin with his tongue? None. No person, I can say, did not commit sin by his tongue. That's why he said, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So he's saying, if you are able to control your tongue, you will be able to control all your body. This reminds me with Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. 21, 23. It says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. I want you to think how many times you said a word and you were in trouble because of what you said. Many times. Many times the regretted words we said. And we said, I wish I didn't say this word. I went through a big trouble because of my words. Sin, if we go back to James, he gave us actually six images about the tongue. Six images about the tongue. The first image, as we read in James chapter 3, is the image of the bet that we put it in horse's mouth. He said, indeed, we put bets in horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. So the first image here is the image of the bit. Bit is very small, but when you put it actually in the horse mouth, you can actually move and turn the horse as you wish. So he's saying, as this little bit control the movement of the horse, in the same way, if you are controlling this little organ in our body, tongue, you can control everything in your life. If you grow in self-control and you are controlling your words, then you can control anything else. The second image is the image of the rudder. He said, look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. So he's saying, as this huge ship, we move it and direct it with a small rudder, in the same way, but if you lost control over this rudder, you will lose control over the ship. In the same way, if you lose control over your tongue, then you lost control over your life. The third image is the image of fire. And this image is a very strong image. He said in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. I did so and so and so. Usually you like to brag. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. If you have a great, great forest, and then just you throw in it a small brimstone or match, it will actually burn the whole forest. In the same way, as he said in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Many times, groups sitting in peace, and one person says a word, and this word can turn them against each other. It's destructive. Our tongue can be very, very destructive. Actually, on my way here, a huge conflict happened between two persons, because one person greeted the other and the other refused to turn the greeting. If the other just returned back the greeting, we could be able to avoid this huge conflict. But because this person say hi, the other person did not respond to him, now it became big conflict and big fight. There's a fire. So these two letters, not two words, H-I, two letters, could avoid it, actually a big fight and a big conflict. But our pride and our ego, and many times, as I say, we are sitting in peace and somebody enters and say a word and a big, huge fight. That's why, yes, indeed, as St. James says, it's a fire. Not only a fire, but he said, world of iniquity. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Can you imagine? Not only a house or a city or a country of iniquity, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So when I don't control my tongue, this means my tongue is controlled by hell, by the devil. Who controls my tongue? Is it devil in hell or the Holy Spirit in heaven and earth? Who's controlling your tongue? That's a very important question. If my tongue divides people, if my tongue causes division, if my tongue gossip, if my tongue judges, then it is connected with the hell, not with the heaven, as St. James said. That's why if we read Psalm 34 and verse 13, Psalm 34 and verse 13. David says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So James said, the tongue is like fire, the tongue is like the bed of horses, the tongue is like the rudder. Number four, he said about the tongue, verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. Unruly evil. Unruly means what? Uncontrollable. You cannot put a rule. Unruly, there is no rule to control your tongue. It is unruly evil. Full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. Unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So, here he is reminding us that we can tame the nature of beasts like lions, like bears, like tigers. But actually, to control, to put a rule, to put a discipline for your tongue, it's difficult. Unruly evil. And he's wondering, now in the church we are saying, blessed be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit now and forever. So, with it, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So how can the same tongue that you are glorifying God with it and blessing God with it, the same tongue you curse your brother, you lie to your brother, you revile your brother? How? Then he gives us the fifth image, the image of a spring. He said, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? So this was the fifth image, spring. If you have a spring of water, either you will have sweet water or you have bitter water. How I expect God to accept my prayers while I have duality in my tongue? I bless him and then I curse my brother. I bless him and I gossip about my brother. I bless him and I attack my brother. So, if I don't control my tongue, my prayers will not be acceptable before God. And the last image that he gave to us is the image of a tree. He said in verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bears olives? Or a grapevine bears figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. He is saying, then if my tree is good tree, I will have good fruit. If my tree is a bad tree, I will have bad fruit. So my tongue will reveal my heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, speak the tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, speak the tongue. One exception to this rule is the exception of hypocrites. Even the Lord Jesus Christ marveled at the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And he told them, I don't understand. How can you speak good things while you are evil? So the Lord marveled at their hypocrisy. How can you, being evil, are able to speak good things? Because out of the abundance of the heart actually speaks the tongue. So if we understood all these images, we can say tongue has power. Tongue has power. And this power can be a destructive power or constructive power. It can be life or it can be death, as we read in Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Means what? Death and life in the power of tongue. Actually, we can bring death upon ourselves, or we can bring life upon ourselves, because with your words you will be justified or you will be condemned. And also we can bring death and life upon others with our words. So when we say the power of death and life lies in the tongue, it is my death and my life, or the death of the others and the life of the others. My life, because as the Lord said, you will be justified and you will be condemned by your words. You remember the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who entered the temple and prayed? The tax collector, in humbleness, he beat his chest, and even in humbleness he could not lift his eyes up to heaven, but he prayed a very small prayer: "O Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And he went his house justified. He was justified by his words. The Pharisee made a long prayer, but it was a prayer of pride, ego, bragging, judging others. So he made a long prayer, but he was not justified. In the church history, and Christian governor want to have a dispute between or confrontation between a Christian minister and a Jewish minister. So he brought the Christian and the Jewish in front of each other. So he asked them to start the debate. So the Christian said, "How you want me to debate a person," he speaks about the Jewish man, "who is worse than the ox and the donkey? Because in the Old Testament, in their book, it is written, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My Bible do not consider." So he said to the unchristian governor, "Even their own book, their own prophets, it's written in their own book that they are worse than the ox and the donkeys. So how can I debate with them?" So the Jewish, of course, got angry. So he said to the governor, "Okay, what about the Christian have a verse in the Bible? It says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move this mountain from here to there. So if their book is correct, let them move the mountain. And if they did not move the mountain, then their faith is not correct. And you need to kill all the Christians. Why I'm sharing this story with you? How this Christian person started the debate, he started it unwisely by attacking this Jewish man. And he took the verse outside the context of it. And actually, because of this argument, the Christian went through very, very difficult time through for 3 days. This is a story of moving in the mountain of Al-Mu'attam. But I want to give you the background why this happened, why the governor asked the Christian to move the mountain. But because of the godliness and the righteousness of the Pope, and also of Sim'an the Tanner, that's why God had mercy on the Christian, and they were able to move a mountain. But the beginning, by his word, he was about to bring death upon all the Christians. Yes, the power of life and the power of death lies in our tongue. Not only on our life, but in the life of others. Job went through very difficult time. And instead of his friends to comfort him, he told them in Job 19 and verse 2, "How long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words?" So he's telling them, are you here to comfort me? No, you are tormenting me. How long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? Yes, we can destroy somebody with our words, with our words. That's why St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Ephesians 4:29, he told us, "Let not corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification." So he's saying, number one, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Number two, only good words. And number three, edifying words. And number four, necessary edification. Many times we like to preach and give advices and volunteer maybe unwanted advice. So I said, no, just give what is necessary for necessary edification. Number five, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So we need actually to evaluate our words. Are they are corrupt or good words? Are they are necessary or not necessary? Are they for edification or not? Are they imparting grace or not? And then he said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So if I'm speaking bad words, I am grieving the Spirit of God in me. One of the things that make the Holy Spirit inside me grieves when I speak bad words. In Proverbs 12:22, very rare God says I hate. Very rare. But let us see here in Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. In Arabic, karahat. God hates lying lips. but those who deal truthfully are his delight. So when we lie, God hates lying. God hates lying. But when we speak truthfully, God will be delighted in us. Many times we say, thank God, I don't have any major sin. I don't steal, I don't kill, I don't commit adultery. Just the common sins like lying, like cursing, like swearing. But if these things became common to us and became part of our nature, we need to know that these sins actually are very, very serious to God. God hates, it's abomination. Lying lips are abomination to God. Swearing, Exodus 20, that's actually part of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, verse 7, we read one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So I should not just swear by the name of God and take his name in vain. God will not hold him guiltless. So we'll be guilty when we take his name in vain. So, let us conclude by giving ourselves practical application, what we need to do in order to make our tongue of life, power of life, and edification. As St. James said, no one was able to tame his tongue. And if anyone is able to tame his tongue, he's a perfect man. So what he is saying here is that you cannot tame your tongue. You cannot. Only by grace from God, grace from the Holy Spirit, you can tame your tongue. Without this grace, you will fail. If you are going to say, I will control my tongue, I will not lie, I will not swear, I will do this, I will do that, you will fail. Nobody is able to tame his tongue. It's only through God. That's why you need to pray and to ask the grace of God to help you to tame your tongue, to control your tongue. Without this grace, you will fail. And you will try harder and harder, but you will fail. But we need actually to have this strong relationship with God. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then our tongue will utter actually praises. There is a beautiful, beautiful analogy in Ephesians chapter 5. St. Paul is comparing getting drunk with being filled with the Spirit. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine. When I get drunk, I lose control over myself. And I lose control over my words. That's why he said, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. I will say actually bad words because I don't have any control over my tongue. But when a person gets drunk, when did he get drunk? When actually his blood is saturated with alcohol. Thus he said, I want you to be drunk, but with a different type of alcohol. I want you to be drunk by the alcohol of the Holy Spirit, if I may say this. That's why he said, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So when actually I am saturated, I am filled with the Spirit of God, also I will lose control over my tongue. But who will have control over my tongue? The Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit will have control over my tongue, what will happen? Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now when I speak to you and you speak to me, I speak with psalm, hymns, spiritual songs. And my heart from within, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So you cannot control your tongue, but you need to lose control and to give it to the Holy Spirit when you are filled with the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, then when you talk to one another, you will actually speak psalms, spiritual songs. And your heart is singing melodies to the Lord. Train yourself to be silent when it is needed. There is a wisdom called wisdom of speaking and being silent. When I speak in the wrong time, it is sin. When I am silent in the wrong time, it's also sin. There is wisdom here. I need to speak when it is needed, and I need to be silent when it is needed. Don't backbite anybody. Don't speak about a person behind his back. Train your tongue to praise God. Say, Holy God, Holy Mighty. Say, God have mercy upon me, O sinner. Say, Lord have mercy. Say, Lord deliver me. Train your tongue to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and bring the good news of salvation to others. Train your tongue to speak truth and love. If we are speaking truth without love, this is rudeness. And if we are speaking love without truth, this is hypocrisy. But we need to train ourselves to speak truth and love. We need also not to grumble and to complain. Some people, they whine all the day, they are whiners. When you meet with them, just they are complainers. That's not a good tongue. That's not a tongue controlled by Holy Spirit. You need to be grateful, thankful to God. You need to be positive and send the positive messages. Your tongue to be kind, to be encouraging others, praising others. You need actually to pray this prayer all the time, of Psalm 19 verse 14. If we start every day in our life with this psalm, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So every day in the morning, I ask God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Another also beautiful verse, and this will be the last one in our Bible study tonight. It is Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle when the wicked are before me. What does this mean? Usually when a difficult person in front of us start to fight or attack me or hurt me, if I allow myself to reply back, then actually most probably I will lose my peace and I will curse or revile. That's why he said, when actually the wicked in front of me, I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. I will put muzzle on my mouth so I'll be silent. Lest I sin with my, as he said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute, was silent. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. Like the Lord Jesus Christ in front of Herod and Pilate, he was silent, not speak a word. Because as the Bible says, I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before you. So when a person is standing in front of you, trying to challenge you, trying to stir your anger, try to intimidate you, remember this verse. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle when a wicked stand before me. Because once you speak, you will sin. But the wise person will keep silent. I'm sure all of us heard words that make us very happy. And all of us heard words that make us very upset, very uptight, very frustrated. Yes, there is power in our tongue. We can edify others, we can make them joyful, or we can make them miserable. With one word we can say it. We can make a person miserable, or we can make him frustrated. So, as we started in the beginning, Saint Mary controlled her tongue. Archangel Michael did not give himself permission to revile Satan. So how much more we need to control and to tame our tongue. But this is impossible without being filled with the Spirit and without having the grace of God in our life. May the prayers of Saint Mary, Mother of God, and prayer of Archangel Michael be with all of us. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.